Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective. They post episodes on Tuesday and Friday mornings, bright and early. The NBA playoffs are coming, so be sure to check it out. You can follow Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective as well as The Right Time wherever you get your podcasts. ESPN Films' latest documentary, 144, executive produced by Chinne Ogwumike, takes viewers inside the WNBA's unprecedented 2020 season. 4 months after the WNBA postponed its season due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the league set out to play a condensed season entirely in a bubble, where 144 players across 12 teams not only came together to play basketball, but also to dedicate their season to social justice. 144 is now available on ESPN+. A new lightweight king will be crowned at UFC 262 when rising star Charles Oliveira, who recently beat Tony Ferguson, battles Michael Chandler for the vacant title. Catch UFC 262 on Saturday, May 15th, available exclusively to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV. The Right Time with Bomani Jones is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening. Wherever you get your podcast, rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is Foxworth Friday. Dominique Foxworth, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, just happy to be here. So many things I just can't wait to talk to you about.
Dog, I mean, okay. So I know what people want us to talk about, which is your boy, Tim Tebow. And before we get to Tim Tebow, like, now that you done worked in our game for a little while, I think that better than ever now, you can appreciate the madness that was doing this job as a thinking person during that year of Tebow mania, right?
I can imagine it, but I'm not ready for it. I can only imagine it. I can't. The stress that's on your face.
Yeah, right. 10 years later, right? Now, for people who have been following me for a while, you know a bit more about my plight in this situation, okay? But this is the story that should tell you just how it's set up for me, right? This was the beginning of it. So, as you recall, I believe it was the fourth game of the season for the Broncos that year. They were losing by 3 touchdowns or something like that with Kyle Lorton, that quarterback. And then people have been like, play Tebow, play Tebow. But the coaches clearly were like, dog, he stinks. Y'all don't know that he stinks. All right, but fine. Y'all want Tebow? Let's put him in the game, right? And so they put Tim Tebow in the game. And they almost came back and won. Almost did. At which point, he had to be the starter. Their first game was against the Dolphins. So they go down, they play the Dolphins, and it comes down to like the last minute, and Tebow gets them down the field. And they win the game. But he was cheeks all game long, right? Just straight cheeks from start to finish until they got to that drive. And so I knew a dude that played in the game, and I asked him, I was like, yo, man, what's your read on Tebow? And his reply, he's a coach now. His reply, worst quarterback I've ever seen. He was like, look, we lost the game. Like, it wasn't like, no, just straight up hating. He was like, this is the worst quarterback I've ever seen. I'm like, okay, cool. Good for me to know. Make sure I'm not tripping, because I thought it was the worst quarterback I've ever seen. So I do a round the horn the next day, and I recall it was Woody Page, it was Bob Ryan, and I think it was Kalishaw. Pretty sure it was Kalishaw. And you do a conference call in the morning, it goes around, and very often on the first topic, I'm the last person to give his piece, right? And so Woody was on it, but you know, Woody, you know, covers the Broncos, he's been telling people for the longest that Tebow, you know, was going to be the thing. So he was like, yeah, see, I told you, basically. Bob Ryan, as you would expect, was wildly skeptical of Tebow at first, because Bob ain't here for nothing that Tebow stands for, right? But then at the end, but I guess I was wrong because they won a game, right? And then Kalishaw was like, yeah, I was a little skeptical, still kind of skeptical, but, you know. And then it got to me, and I was just flabbergasted because I was like, yo, he's the worst quarterback I've ever seen. Like, not a single person wanted to make the point he was the worst quarterback I'd ever seen. But it was just 1 week, right? It was just one game. And then it was another game. And then it was another game. And they all kept going the same way, right? It would all come down to the end, and it would be some Tebow magic, but he would stink all the way through. And they, it's not just that they weren't throwing the ball. It's not like they was out here running the option with him, right? Like, you talk about Lamar Jackson, right? But at least when Lamar Jackson, when you felt like that he needs to get better at throwing or whatever, but when they had Lamar running the ball, he was part of the running game.
Right.
They were having Tebow run the ball because we can't have him pass the ball. And it was week after week after week. It is this topic that invigorated America. Like, everybody loved to talk about it, and I hated it. But because I hated it so much, they loved to get me on to talk about it. Because I would just get on TV and just lose my fucking mind. I would just be on I wasn't on the radio at that point, thank goodness. Because I would just be places just losing my mind about what it was that I was seeing. And then people try to convince you that he's good. And then they're like, well, it's just something about him. He's a winner. What does that mean? what does that mean? I don't understand. And oh, my God, it was so terrible. And I was so glad he never started a game, except the problem ever again. Except the problem was, since he didn't start a game after that Pittsburgh game, I almost forgot. There were 300 yards that I could have thrown for because the Steelers treated him with such disrespect. Like, the level of disrespect they treated him with actually went a half step too far. Our guy, RC, Ryan Clark, couldn't play in the game because he can't play games in Denver. And, oh, my God, like, so forever, he had that 300-yard game in the playoffs against the best defense in the league. Oh, and it's like it was coated in amber. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, it was that. It never happened again. Like, it was just, okay, cool. This is what it's going to be. It was a wrap. And just every week we'd have to come talk about this. And every week I'd have to, like, convince people, like, can't y'all see he's sorry? And they're like, why does it matter that he's sorry? They're winning. Like, he's sorry.
This was so enjoyable. I don't know what to say to this. Like, I feel like I should steer you away from this because you might have an aneurysm, but also I'm really enjoying it.
But now he's back. Like, this is the thing, back. Right? And this is where it's different for me, right? After I've told you what it was like to go through this, then I'm like, damn, the dude has come back. All right, this was my thing about it. I've never seen a player that people in my business and other places wanted to be good more than this. Like, it was not about evaluating whether or not he was good. People just really wanted it. And I just don't know why it is they love this dude that much.
It's funny because this new situation, I feel like, tests people's level of, like, insanity a little bit more. Because, like, you had to be a little bit crazy to be like, Tim Tebow is the reason, even though he's not good, he's the reason why they're winning. Now, the reason why he's getting a shot, like, there's no logical reason. So it tests you even more, and to the point where you're like, because he can be in the locker room and bring some magic. Like, that's the closest thing, because I've tried to figure out what a reasonable person's position on this would be. And that's the closest thing you can come up with, is like, he's a culture setter, because you can't reasonably argue that he's going to be a good tight end. You can't reasonably argue that he's a Taysom Hill replacement. The only thing that you could possibly say is, like, having him in the locker room, he talks to guys in a way that gets them to buy in or something. Like, that's it, right?
Like, let me ask you a question, right? You've been in locker rooms with, I mean, you played with Champ Bailey, right? You played with Ray Lewis. Like, you've been in there with dudes that are, like, I don't think Champ's this guy necessarily, but, you know, rally the troops type of cats, right? Been there. Mm-hmm. Weren't they all good? like, can you do that in the NFL if you're not good?
I think it's really hard. I mean, good, or I guess what's different than good is, like, respected. But I guess being respected comes with some level of good, too. But it's hard to listen to somebody, even a coach. It's hard to listen to them do that rally the troops speech if you're not out there. There's a difference between out there and you are not providing some value while you're out there, because there's some respect that comes with that. And I guess that's what they think Tim Tebow offers, maybe, but he's not even close enough to having been a part of a winner for people to be like, oh, yeah. Like, anybody who's in the league now is not like, remember when Tim made that minor league team? That was awesome. Remember when he won that playoff game? That was awesome. Remember when he won the Heisman? That was awesome. Like, none of these kids remember or care or respect any of that. Nobody under the age of 40, I would think, is looking at Tim Tebow and appreciating anything that he's done, or respecting, frankly, anything that he's done professionally.
And he ain't played in 9 years. Like, that's the thing about it. None of the cats that are in the league were even, like, around, really, when he was out there before. Like, I don't even know what he means to them.
Let me tell you something. They are going to try to kill that man. I am telling you what every defensive end, outside linebacker, inside linebacker, safety, whatever, what they are going to try to do to him in training camp, and maybe some of them have some reverence for him just because of like the cultural figure that he's become, and the NFL leans right further than you would think, and right. Tim Tebow leans into a lot of this religious right stuff, and I think that maybe there's a possibility that some people look at Tim Tebow and say he is some sort of champion for things I care about. Those people don't play outside linebacker or defensive end in the NFL. Let me tell you that. Those people play offensive line. Those people maybe play quarterback. You might find a Mike that thinks like that. But you ain't finding a safety, an outside linebacker, or a defensive end who looks at him and is like, you know what? He got a point. Let me take it easy on my boy. Them dudes gonna try to kill him. And I'm talking about the guys on his team. Not alone if he gets to a preseason game. Because then you if he's in a preseason game, assuming he's not going to be running with the ones, he's going to get in there with the twos and threes. Motherfuckers that's trying to make a name for themselves.
Yes.
Guys who want everyone, who want to be on SportsCenter. Guys who want coaches to notice them. Guys who want to be like trending on Twitter or Instagram for a moment. They are going to try to lift that man up and throw him all the way back to 2011 when he was winning playoff games. I promise you that.
Yo, you're like the Edge is for sociopaths. And I hadn't really thought about it, but it makes perfect sense.
I'm just telling you, I'm thinking about all the defensive ends and outside linebackers that he's going to have to try to block. Miles Garrett? Good luck, bruh. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney? Come on now. Like, these are not guys who are going to be like, man, Tim Tebow really meant something to me when I was growing up. I really liked seeing Tim Tebow out there representing the values that I care about, so I'm going to look out for him. Tim Tebow better try to play defensive tackle. He might find a guard in there that's sympathetic.
But you know, you made a good point there that I hadn't, well, a point that I was aware of, I hadn't thought about in this context, and that is something that people do not know, is I had somebody tell me, they're like, you have to understand, the NFL Players Association is the biggest group of black conservatives in the league. Like, what Tebow is talking is something that cats in there want to hear. In fact, maybe that's going to be his move. He going to run the Bible study. He going to be the chaplain.
That's a move. However, when you step out there and you are going up against dudes that are hungry to make a roster on your team and others, they don't care nothing about what you said in chapel that morning. I promise you, Bomarty Jones, that they are going to. And like, even the coaches, we saw the reports that coaches on his own team are like, man, we ain't about this. Can you imagine what the players feel like? Like, it feel disrespectful. Like, imagine if you are listening to this right now, whatever you do professionally, I could use you, Bumani, as an example. If somebody just was like, hey, you know what? Let's give a podcast to this random dude. At one point, he was real nice to the high school paper. He was killing it, the high school paper. Like, we got some, he was a part of a company that was skyrocketing and made it to the top. He was there when that was happening. So let's give him a podcast and let's put some money and effort behind it. Like, that. Disrespectful. Like, you're going to try to destroy that man. I had that same situation. And if they're famous, it matters even more. So when I first got to Denver, Jerry Rice, we talked about this. Yeah. I think Jerry Rice was there. And it was his last place. He didn't make the team, so he ended up retiring. But, like, he was 40. And they put me out there. It was like, cover Jerry Rice. Like, the combination. I grew up loving Jerry Rice. The combination of him being as great as he was, and also being 40, brought out the worst in me. So I was like, y'all think this 40-year-old? And also, this is the best receiver that I ever played? Like, I wanted nothing more than to infuriate Jerry Rice and destroy him in those moments. And those practices, training camp practices, were open, and everybody was crowded around to see Jerry Rice in one-on-ones. I'm obviously haven't had the career Jerry Rice had. I blah, blah, blah. Got it. All the disclaimers that are necessary. Man, I was going to mangle that man. Because, like, one, it's Jerry Rice, and two, it's 40. So the same dynamic, and that's why I know how these guys are going to approach it. The same dynamic happens to them. It's like, whoa, this is Tim Tebow. And also, he ain't played in a decade. What you take me for? That is what's going on in their mind. And also, like, this – I'm trying to make a living. Like, I've sacrificed all of these days and years and time out of my life to get here, to make this, to get this opportunity, to make this dream come true. You gonna step in front of me? Like, you didn't earn this. Like, I promise you that's what's going on. And I guarantee you they're gonna be talking about it too, especially since the coaches don't even want them there. Them defense, them outside linebacker coaches gonna be like, all right, guys, let's go ahead and take care of this real quick. Don't hurt this man, but we ain't got time to mess around. We ain't got time to be BSing. We trying to build something. So go ahead and make this clear to him that he better figure out his Taysom Hill package, because he ain't gonna win on the edge with us.
For he 33 years old. And also, a problem with the Taysom Hill package is, while Taysom Hill does not have a great arm, Taysom Hill is Michael Bishop compared to Tim Tebow.
Absolutely. I mean, no disrespect to Taysom Hill. I end up on the wrong side of Taysom Hill.
No. But it's crucial, though, because one of the things we learn when they actually let him play quarterback is that the arm just ain't there. But compared to Tim Tebow, the arm is a bazooka.
Yeah. And I do not – Taysom Hill has proven that he has some value. I don't mean any disrespect to Taysom Hill by telling Tim Tebow that he better come up with that package, but I guarantee you that's the only thing that people are imagining when they see him. They don't see him turning into Travis Kelce. Like, they don't see him turning into Kittle. They like, all right, well, we can run him at some H-back. We can run him down on kickoff. We can put him in red zone every now and then. Like, I imagine that's the only reasonable usage for a guy like Tim Tebow. And I don't think he's as good as Taysom Hill.
You know, and he's certainly not as athletic. Like, that's the thing I think that people also lose sight of. He wasn't a quarterback who ran, like, obviously, he's not Lamar Jackson. But Lamar Jackson is like a plus athlete at every position that you could put him out there at, you know, for a man of his size.
Right.
Tebow would not be, because he's like a linebacker size. He would not be a plus athlete as a linebacker. He is not a plus athlete as a tight end. Like, this is not, when they start looking at guys and they're like, yo, we can change positions with him. Logan Thomas, for example. Logan Thomas, and I think people don't understand this part about him. He was recruited as the number one tight end recruit in America. Like, the red flags on him were already present, but Virginia Tech was just like, yo, his arm is too strong. Even like, we got to give it a run. Right. And so they let him play quarterback, but people had always been on this, like, not just he could play tight end, he could be like the best tight end kind of thing. He is a different caliber of athlete than Tim Tebow. At his best, he was. And again, Tim Tebow was now 33 years old. And your boy Urban Meyer, you know what he seemed to be? He seemed to be the dude that's like, it'll be okay. Right, like all these outlandish ideas, like it just gets in them. It'll be okay. So Chris Doyle is the strength coach. Hey, Herb, man, you know, the blacks don't really like get down with him. I don't know if you read what happened. Look, I know him. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. Like, I look at that situation with him and Chris Doyle, and I was like, why didn't you hire him at Ohio State? Right? Like, why didn't you just back up the truck and hire him there?
So I was going to ask how he didn't learn that lesson. Like, I think that being a good coach is about adjusting and learning quickly and then adjusting. But I guess this is a different lesson. Because the first lesson, I guess, is don't hire somebody with this baggage unless they offer a whole bunch of value. And I guess he would look at Tim Tebow and be like, oh, Tim Tebow is pristine. Like, he doesn't have baggage, but he does. He's bringing other baggage along with him. So I guess this is a slightly different lesson. He need to learn these quick.
Yeah, Tim Tebow's bringing a bag of sorry. Like that's what baggage. He's bringing with him. Yes, yeah, that's huge baggage.
Yeah, like the question that I feel like you often need, I don't like to like be so reductionist, but it helps when you have like one guiding principle through the way of like a question. Like, when you are making decisions, there's like one question I should ask. And for football coaches, often the question is, does this make us a better football team? And the answer to that has to be yes, if you're going to be making the decisions. And that's how you justify some of the really like confusing and ethically borderline decisions that people make. It's the same thing that you do in big companies. You're like, man, shareholder value. Like, you fall back on that, and that's how you can manage to justify this. The concerning thing for Urban Meyer, when you have a coaching staff in college, you can be as big as you want, a roster that can be over 100 players. Like, this is, and the NFL is different. They cap those resources. You can't give out a bunch of scholarships. It's like, the question should be there. does this make us better at football? If the answer is no, then what are you doing? I think the answer is no for Doyle. The answer is no for Tebow. I just don't understand how you come to this decision if you actually care about success.
Yo, think about this, right? The last time we saw Robert Griffin play as a starting quarterback, it was Cheeks, right? Like, yeah. It's fair to say. And he was mired in a racially charged quarterback controversy. Right. Like, no matter what you want to say about that situation, race was a huge factor in the way that everything went down with Griffin and Cousins, and helped make Cousins very, very rich, because nothing is better for your image than being on the other side of a black dude in a quarterback controversy. Think about how beloved Alex Smith became with people by losing his job, right? Like that's what it takes, is getting on the other side of that, okay? People did not like Robert Griffin, and Robert Griffin looked bad as a starting quarterback. And that dude still gets to play quarterback, right? That dude is still in the league. He's not a starter, but he still is like on that backup quarterback rotation. Bruh. Not one team in the last 9 years in this quarterback scarce world, where it really doesn't matter who your backup quarterback is, because if you got to go to him, you're going to lose. Nobody's wanted Tim Tebow to play quarterback, right?
Do you think
not one person?
Do you think RG3 would still have a job as a backup if Lamar Jackson didn't win the MVP?
That is a fair question. Now, he got that job before Lamar won that, right? And maybe he just
he didn't get a job before they went all in on Lamar, I guess.
Got you. But I do think this. I do think that somebody would. That's right, because he had a year out of the league. I had forgotten about that.
He was stinky with the Browns, and the Browns were trying to be stinky, so maybe he was better than that. But he was terrible there,
and he was hurt. Yeah, he may have had to be the dude to come to peace with. You just not gonna start, right? Like maybe, because when I saw him playing that game against Pittsburgh this year, he looked like a backup quarterback.
Yeah,
he looked like he was there, but somebody got him on a roster,
right?
Nobody in 9 years, the Eagles invited him to camp, and the Patriots invited him to camp, but nobody thinks this dude can play quarterback. Nobody thinks that he's an NFL player. And at 33, you're going to be back out here? Can you, Dominique Foxworth, imagine after being out of the league for 9 years?
No.
And you played corner.
No. No. Nope. 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 Nope.
This dude about to be in the box.
I don't want to imagine. No, he's not. Bomani, he is not. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you, but he's not going to be in no box for very long. He's going to be in the box for 1 or 2 days of training camp. Then they're going to be like, hey, maybe we run a little tricky something with him and see how that works. That's not going to work out. And then he's going to go home or go back to doing on a speaking tour or try his hand at another athletic endeavor. I don't know. But in this, I don't really believe in the concept of distractions.
Yeah.
But it feels like because I feel like distraction is a word that we often use in this industry because we don't know how to articulate something else that might be a little bit risky.
Right.
And like, to be fair, everyone has distractions in their life. Like, adding someone else to your roster is not going to be a bigger distraction from whatever you have going on at home.
Right.
Or whatever you have going on elsewhere in your life. So that's kind of why I discount the distraction thing. But the people who normally throw distraction out as a reason not to bring somebody in, where you at now? Like, what is Tim Tebow if not because like the Kaepernick argument and the argument to keep out so many other players is, I guess, Antonio Brown comes to mind, which is very different than Kaepernick, but it's still like, we don't want him in there because it's going to be a distraction. It's going to be a media scrum around him every week. Everyone's going to be focused on that. And somehow that's going to take away from our ability to prepare and play. What do you think going to happen with Tim Tebow when he shows up? And that's, to me, is the confusing part, because football coaches normally don't give a damn about like marketing. Like, this seems like a decision made by the marketing department. How can we get some attention? We're in Jacksonville, Florida. How can we get some buzz, some national buzz? How can we get people to show up? How can we get people to care while we're rebuilding? That doesn't seem like something that Urban Meyer, who seems to be as obsessed with winning as any other coach, it doesn't seem like something that he would want to attract no matter how good Tim was to him back in the day.
And it's clear they're not doing it for marketing and media stuff, because this franchise could have done this many years prior. The Mets have been doing that, right? Like, they had the option of trying to pull this off, and they had the option of pulling this off while their quarterback was Blaine Gabbert. They had the option of pulling this off while their quarterback was Blake Bortles.
Yeah, and don't you care about your quarterback, too? I'm sorry, you let me finish. When you said that, it reminded me of something that I knew, but I wasn't thinking about, but Trevor Lawrence is there.
Yes.
How's this helping Trevor Lawrence?
What he gonna teach Trevor Lawrence? Well, I gotta keep it real.
Go get McCown. Yo. Go get somebody who knows something about something.
Yo, I gotta be real about this. I don't know if you've seen this, but you know, we got the Detail series here on ESPN Plus. And for those of you who don't know, the first one was Detail with Kobe Bryant. It would basically be film study with Kobe Bryant, right? It was really interesting stuff there. Then Peyton Manning has also done it. You know, two players that we have always viewed as being amongst the most cerebral of all time, where you want to hear and think about their thought processes as it comes to football. And we got a whole lot of people on TV, like Dan Orlovsky does this, for example. They get out there with the new age telestrator on the iPad, and they show you where all the stuff is going, all right? I ain't seen Tim Tebow never do that stuff on TV, like with the SEC Network. And no shade, that's not what he provides. Okay, that's cool. But they had him do a detail, and I was like, yo, one of these things is not like the other, right? Like, that is like, we have never.
You're lying.
No.
There's a Tim Tebow detail?
There's Tim Tebow detail.
It's just an episode. It's not a whole.
I think it's just an episode.
Man, I'm going to find that as soon as we get off of this.
Yeah. But all I'm saying is, well, he ain't that guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, they gave him the detail, but, you know, like, yo, he's not that dude. So I don't know what it is that he going to be in there telling Trevor Lawrence. That, like, at what point, if you Trevor Lawrence, you know, you going to be respectful of your elders, you know? And he's your brother in Christ, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Right? That's all that.
How long is going to be before you got to call his agent and be like, hey, man, you got to get this dude up out my ear. They ain't even going to be in the same rooms, because he a tight end now. Like, I keep talking about him like he's a quarterback. He a tight end.
Bomani, he's going to end up in the quarterback room. I don't care what anybody says. Like, he's going to spend some time in the quarterback room, because this is the process that we talked about. You have to have something in this league. You have to have an behind your name, or behind some verb that you are doing. Like, man, we got him because he's a runner. We got him because he's a masher. We got him because he's whatever, So what is the advantage? What's the that Tim Tebow is going to offer? Like, think about, you started to go down this path earlier. You put him at tight end. He's not faster than anybody that he's going up against. He's not faster than any other tight ends in the league. He's not quicker than anyone. He's not stronger than anyone. He's not smarter than anyone. He's not more physical than anyone. He's like, when do you want me to stop? He doesn't even throw the ball probably better than all the tight ends in the league. They're like, where is the advantage? So when you put him out there, it's not only that he's not better than anyone at anything, it's like he's probably not even mediocre. So at what point do you put him out there? What is the purpose? The only purpose is possibly because he could offer some sort of trick play threat. But please run a play that ends with Tim Tebow throwing the ball and Trevor Lawrence running a route. My God, please do that if I'm a defensive coordinator. So, like, are you building this around? So if you're not a great athlete at tight end, but you are an incredible blocker, then fine. We'll run the ball to your side. And the fact that you are an incredible blocker will scare people into biting on play action. And that's how tackles end up getting touchdowns in the NFL.
Right.
It's like, oh, we put a tackle in a tight end. They definitely going to run the ball. And then somehow he does a little slide route and ends up opening the back of the end zone. So you put Tim Tebow out there, they're not going to be like, oh, man, let's over. Because, like, that's the argument. It's like, well, Tim Tebow is just as good athlete as tight end X, who caught a touchdown last year. Yeah, but tight end X offers something that threatens the defense. So you're not going to be like, all right, well, we got to go nickel package when Tim Tebow is in because he's such a great receiver. Like Jimmy Graham couldn't block that well, but he was such an incredible athlete that they'd be like, hey, we got to put a safety out there. We might put a corner on him, and that gives us an advantage. We want to run the ball. He's 6'8". That gives us an advantage in the red zone or whatever. He's a great rebounder like that. Okay, so we can build on that. What are we going to build on for Tim Tebow? Like, his religiosity? I don't know what. That's the only thing that he does better than everybody else. It's like he's a better spokesperson for Christianity than the other tight end. So that's why I have a hard time believing that he's going to stay in the tight end room for long. Because what are we doing? What are we building on?
So I also think another level of this is like, why are you doing this, Tim Tebow, at 33 years old, right?
And that makes more sense to me than anything else.
I think I've gotten to the bottom of it, though. Because, again, this is a painful job for you to do, and most people by now have kind of moved on. You have other ways to make more money. Like, why are you doing this? One of the more interesting details about the Tim Tebow story is he is a homeschool superstar. Right. Like, I thought they passed these rules for Tim Tebow, but I don't think it was specifically for him. But in 1996, state of Florida passed a law that said that you could play for your school and do homeschool. Right. And that becomes an interesting detail because football could not save him from homeschool. Right. Like, he did homeschool all the way through and also played on the teams. Right. And it dawned on me. I don't think that he really knows, like, how to be socially part of the larger world if he's not on a team, right? Because if you think about it, that's a whole childhood where your access to people and being in the crew and all the stuff that, like, typically, you know, I guess you had church to a degree. Yeah. But, like, I was like, yo, are you just lost not being on a team? And I really stopped and thought about it and was like, that's actually entirely possible. Like, what is outside of church and outside of his house, what is he in the outside world? He's a dude on a team.
To be fair, guys who have had relatively normal upbringings, air quotes, whatever, relative to Tim Tebow's homeschooling, guys who have done that, who have gone to school, had relatively normal relationships, had a crew outside of football, guys who then go play professional football, those guys have a hard time, like, reassimilating back into life without being a part of a team. So you have to imagine that for someone who had so many fewer like social outlets, that being a part of the team feels like that's how you feel. You're like, that is life. It's not a part of life. It kind of is life. So I would have thought that it was something different, but I think that kind of makes sense.
I mean, the dude played 4 years of baseball, however long he did that. And let me tell you what's not going to bring you closer to God. Riding the bus with a minor league baseball team. Like, maybe he saw that as a chance to save some souls, but they all trying to get into something that you ain't trying to get into. They like everything they want to do when they want to go out on a Friday night, they're like, no, Tim, stay here, man. Stay here. You don't need to see this.
I feel like it could have the opposite effect. Is you might see those things and that might bring you even closer to Jesus. So you're like, man, I ain't never been close to Satan, this close to Satan before in my life. Because I imagine, I know plenty of baseball players, and I know how strenuous, like, being on a road trip with a poor team can potentially be. Like, I can imagine that it brings out the worst.
Tim Tebow sitting in the corner at some strip club in Sarasota or somewhere like that with the Bible open, pointing at a verse to some young lady. Like, no, read it with me. Read it with me.
This is the part of the Tim Tebow experience that makes me feel a little bit bad. Bad's the wrong word. I can't think of the right word right now exactly, but not feel great about it, because I believe Tim Tebow to be earnest.
Yes.
And I believe him to, like, I don't see him as a grifter in all of this. Like, I believe that he genuinely feels like he's answering a higher calling.
Yes.
And maybe he is. And he's, and like, so like, I feel bad somewhat laughing about him trying to save souls.
No. That's what makes it funny.
Right. I know. But I guess it feels to me, the reason why I guess, and bad, like I mentioned, bad's the wrong word. I shouldn't use the word bad, but I don't want to waste time on this podcast trying to think of the right synonym. Correct. But the point is, it feels like, and I mean no disrespect, but it also feels like when you are thinking about children in some ways, when the world is so simple to them, that like I would feel bad like laughing at my son because like he found some frogs in our backyard and he like put them in a Tuppperware thing.
Yes.
And it was like, we got to keep these frogs. And like, I was thinking, boy, you're going to kill this frog. Let this frog out of here. And like, I feel bad, not bad, but I feel like, oh, I shouldn't do that. It's the same way that I feel when I talk about Tim Tebow, because I'm like, man, Tim Tebow is a good hearted person and he's doing what he thinks is the right thing. But I also, the right thing for him also happens to be incredibly funny in certain situations, because I can realistically imagine him in a random strip club in Sarasota, like, Not for laughs, not for some image, like really in there, like, come on, young lady, right, let me talk to you about finding your truer path. And the right, last right. thing I wanted
like,
to say,
hold on. He like right. he really trying to get her out the strip club,
yeah,
but not for selfish reasons. No, like he really, you ain't got to do this no more.
Yes. And it's not like it's why you can join my team. It's not like I'm just feigning some interest in you, like. He out here really saving souls.
Yes.
Like that seems like a good person who, with the proper guidance, is a huge asset to our society. And instead of like putting my effort towards making sure he has got it the right path, I'm constructing these jokes.
Yes.
These jokes are valuable. But yeah. Last thing. You said that it's about him. You gave a much smarter psychological prescription for why Tim Tebow might have to be on teams. My thought was more cynical, and it doesn't seem like it lines up with Tim Tebow as much as it's like, in like our modern attention economy, like there is value to having monetary value and social cachet to having the attention of the world or the attention of a subsect of the media for some period of time. And that can be parlayed into something else. And that's the only thing that I thought a reasonable person would think of, like Tim Tebow, like, man, I'm fading my Q score is fading or whatever. People not talking about me. I'll get on this camp roster for a minute. It'll give me a chance to be back in the spotlight for a hot second, and I can parlay that into extra money when I go on speaking tours or extra attention or cachet when I'm trying to save souls in strip clubs. Like that's something, because there's a whole group of people who don't remember Tim Tebow, and they're being reintroduced to him this week because we ain't got nothing else to talk about, so everybody talk about Tim Tebow.
Yeah, you know what's wild about the reintroduction part? Like, everybody, you know, Tim Tebow's back, and we showing clips. And I want to be clear, he was a very, very good college player.
Yeah.
But I ain't running no, like, the highlights they running on B-roll when we have the Tim Tebow segments, they don't look like them Vince Young ones. You know what I'm saying? They don't look like them Michael Vick joints. It is not like, the same.
They don't look like Cam Newton, and I'm not even going to address Lamar Jackson. We're not even going to put that on the table. Like, I mean, to be honest with you, they don't look like Josh Allen. Like, they don't look like nothing special. Like, that team was loaded.
Yes.
With, you talking about their sociopaths on the edge? Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer know the idea of dealing with incredible athletes who also may not be all there mentally.
Yeah. Yeah, let me tell you something. I saw this thing that was bouncing around on Twitter, and it was like, name something that happened in your life that changed the trajectory of it, but was not like having a kid or something like right. that. What changed the trajectory of all things Tim Tebow is something he didn't even do himself. Dennis Dixon tore his ACL in 2007. All right. Dennis Dixon was walking to the Heisman Trophy. Right. Now, I understand that Dixon was out there with a torn ACL and still playing. Like, he, in his last game before it just gave all the way, Dixon ran a 25-yard touchdown untouched. Like, I think that was the first year that Chip Kelly was at Oregon. But after Dixon got hurt, and he got hurt early enough in the season, still pretty late, but early enough, that is now we got to find a new Heisman Trophy person. And Tebow became that guy because he was approaching this thing that nobody had done, which is 20 touchdown passes and 20 rushing touchdowns, right? And so that became the talking point, and he became the Heisman Trophy winner. If Dennis Dixon doesn't get hurt, Dennis Dixon wins that Heisman Trophy, and Tebow, it doesn't become what it does ultimately with Tim Tebow. Like, he might have been like a Heisman Trophy finalist or something like that, but we'd probably be looking at him more like an A.J. McCarron than we would anything else. Except the thing was, the dude won the Heisman Trophy. And right. that has dictated his steps for the last 14 years. He won that Heisman Trophy.
But I mean, to that, I'm sure Tim Tebow would say everything happens for a reason. And oh, yeah. This is all part of the plan. So, like, Dennis Dixon had to do that for Tim to win the Heisman. And Tim had to throw that slant that went to the crib against the Steelers for this to happen. He had to go fail in minor leagues. All of this was leading up to Tim getting this moment so he can go to Jacksonville and presumably save some souls, right? Like, that's genuinely how I feel like he's measuring his life. Save some souls, save some children, whatever it is that he's trying to do.
Yo, you think he could try to hoop so he can go over there to Rwanda with J. Cole?
What? I think this is magic. I isn't that, don't they do lots of missions? Like, isn't that like the history of Christianity is about
yes,
missions
it is.
To Africa?
Yes, like, it is.
So, like, it feels like that's where Tim Tebow need to go. And I guarantee you Tim Tebow can hoop. I know he can. I believe it. I believe it because he just got something. I can't explain what it is. It's just something that makes him nice. Yeah. He got that magic. That...
Yo, this
J. Cole
can
actually hoop, though, right?
I mean, J. Cole can actually hoop, but J. Cole is like 36 years old.
Yeah, I'm 37. I mean, he's 36. I know he was like a walk-on at St. John's.
Yes.
Right, which like is respectable. Like becoming a walk-on is not easy. Even those dudes who like become the mascot of the team and all the fans are like cheering for them to get in the game to end the blowouts. Like those dudes offer some value as practice players. Like they're good basketball players, but NBA is J. Cole's goal, right? I feel like I read that somewhere. It's like, this is like his warm up.
He is 36 years old. I don't know what job I want bad enough to go to Rwanda. Like, does he actually have to go to Rwanda?
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that too. It's like, where is he staying? And I don't want to be like these unworldly people who like think of Africa as one thing and think that it's all like backwoods and there's all bush. Like, I know that not to be the case, but Rwanda though?
Yo, it's like this, right? This is the example, the way that we can put this, okay? I need you to separate all y'all listening right now for a moment. Separate yourself from what's going on in the world right now. It's a separate discussion, all right? But my agent, right? He will very often tell me about how beautiful Israel is. And he'll tell me all the different like places in Israel. I have never thought, and I'm not a religious person, important to note, right? I have never conceptualized or thought of Israel as a beautiful place. Because the only time that it ever comes up in conversation in the United States is when somebody's setting it off, right? Right. Yep. Like it's always like it is in a hail of gunfire, bombs, all this stuff. Maybe the beach is what's up, right? But that's not what anybody ever tells me about Israel. I can't think about it in that way. That's just hard for me to get. I imagine that there's got to be some fly in Rwanda, right? There's got to be something becoming of J. Cole in Rwanda. I have not given that a moment of thought, though. Like, it's never crossed my mind to think about this.
There are so many places in the world to visit. There are so many places in the world that I'd be willing to live for an extended period of time if my job took me there. I would just say that given my knowledge of Rwanda, it is not high on that list. And if you're J. Cole, you're somebody with choices and options. They have leagues in Puerto Rico. they got leagues all throughout Europe. Like, what are you doing? And they have, I'm sure there are other leagues. He's playing against, I know he's playing for the Rwandan Patriots, and I know his first game is against Nigeria River. I forgot what they were called, but it was the Nigeria River. So it suggests to me that there are other teams in other parts of the continent.
Yes.
I can name several other countries and cities that I wouldn't mind spending some time in. I took a trip to Egypt when I was there. My brother lives in South Africa right now. I understand it's a big continent, but Rwanda though.
Yo, like, by the way, are they playing these games in a bubble? Because let me tell you, what don't sound like no short flight. That Kigali to Abuja flight does not seem short at all. And by the way, that plane does not sound luxurious.
Why though? Like, then this is where J. Cole and Tim Tebow seem to be somewhat connected. and that this is a dream that they are unwilling to let go of. And it's fine. It's your life. Do your thing. But for some reason, I have more respect for J. Cole. While I don't understand it, like I can understand going down to Jacksonville. While I don't understand it, I have more respect for J. Cole going to like a legit league that is just starting. I never heard of. Like, he really trying to start from the bottom.
I feel like, and I could be wrong here, okay? Because J. Cole live in Raleigh, if I'm not mistaken. I feel like
Fayetteville, right? Or he lives
from
in Raleigh.
Yeah, he's from Fayetteville, okay, but I think he lives in Raleigh now. Because like, you wouldn't keep living in Fayetteville.
Yeah, either. Of course.
But I feel like
I wouldn't stay in that area generally, personally. But
you can make your money do amazing things in Raleigh. I can see that. Look, I lived in Durham for 10 years. Like, I can see how he would do it, but I just don't. I think there's a men's league around Raleigh that'll give him similar run to what he's about to get playing for this team. Like, it seems like he don't just want to be on a team. He want to be on a team that got jerseys with like stitching on it and stuff like that. And I feel like you could pay for that for your men's league team if that's what it is that you want to do. But it's enough dudes that used to hoop around Raleigh, like between Raleigh and Greensboro, there's enough of them dudes that you could get the run that you were looking for without going to Rwanda. You ain't got to get no shots. You know what I'm saying?
He had like a pretty hot freestyle. I'm not the music guy that you are. Maybe you haven't heard it yet, but I feel like in the last day or so, he had a freestyle.
I haven't
come
checked
out
it out yet.
That I was like, see, this is what you do. You're good at this. You know? Keep doing this, my brother. Like, I'm rooting for him. I don't want him to fail. I remember like in the summer, every summer there are like some clips pop up of J. Cole playing with NBA guys and hitting like NBA threes against guys at like LA Fitness or something. And that's fine. I guess it's your life. Do your thing. You ain't hurting nobody. If you want to go to Rwanda in the middle of a global pandemic so you can get some men's league run with a jersey with sponsors on it, fine. But I'm not just gonna let it happen and not laugh about it on my sports show.
And let me tell you this too. How many cats gonna be handing him mixtapes?
Oh, you know what
I'm saying? Right. Or like handing him mixtapes, not so he can hear, but as an investment opportunity.
Oh yeah. I mean, I feel like this is, again, this might be being unfair to I think it's called the Basketball Africa League or something like that. These guys probably do not have a lucrative career in basketball. Like, this is possibly going to be the most powerful, influential, richest person they're going to be able to spend a good amount of time with. I don't know if I'm handing him a mixtape, but he's going to hear one of my ideas.
Oh, yes. Like,
we're going to try to do something. I think, Dave Chappelle was on Joe Rogan Experience recently. And I don't listen to Joe Rogan's show, but I listened to that one because I find Dave Chappelle pretty interesting. And he said at some point yesterday, I was at my daughter's soccer practice while I was listening to this. And he said on there that he wanted to do a Nollywood movie, like a movie completely in Africa and with African directors and writers and like on the budget that they use to make the like Nollywood pictures. And it reminded me of the same thing. Like, if I was a Nollywood director, producer, star, anything, like, I'd be doing everything I can to get in front of Dave Chappelle, get something to get his attention. This is the same thing with J. Cole, except J. Cole is actually physically going to be there. Like, the effort people would go to get that idea, if it's a car wash or whatever, you're going to get this idea, Cole.
I hope J. Cole understand, though, you're going to have to say no more than once.
Oh.
Ain't nobody giving up. They going back to the drawing board like, nah, man, I ain't really feeling this. Well, what can I do to make it better? Okay, got it. Cool. I'll be back. And the next thing you know, you're going to see Buddy at the back of the bus. I don't know what year that bus was made, but he's going to be at the back of that bus, and he's going to be cooking up more bars to send your way.
It is I feel like great art oftentimes is like produced out of like eclectic experiences, you know? And so like being able to blend a bunch of different things, like I find that super interesting. And like the traditional way that people like look at this is like the private school, the kid who like lives in the hood, grows up in the hood and like goes to private school. Like the combination of those like divergent life experiences can often like create some cool art. So that's the that's the argument for J. Cole to do this, is like not to feed your basketball, but to expose yourself to something new, like living in Rwanda as a part of a professional basketball team as J. Cole. Nobody rapping about that.
That's real. That's real.
He gonna come out with some new experiences and ideas about life that will lead to some freestyles that are scorching hot.
Yeah, scorching hot, and all of the tip. Like something tells me that he is going to return Motep. There's a good chance that he will go beyond Hotep and all the way up to Motep.
I mean, he's a Tepish type rapper to start with. Like he got a lot of Kyrie in him.
Yeah, he already spent a little too much time telling women how to act. This I don't think this trip is going to make that any better.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, that's given what I know, which is not very much about Rwanda, that is not the place you go to get woke. you are not going out there to understand the context of mansplaining.
I don't think that it's going to be a place for him to try to hit them with this intersectionality discussion. Oh. By the way, a discussion that J. Cole himself has demonstrated no need for when it comes to discussing everything else. Man, this Foxworth Friday be jabbing, man. We be kicking it. I always hate when we come up to the end, don't it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we got to stick to the rules, but I mean, it is a podcast. Like, we can do whatever we want, can't we?
Yeah, we can, but somebody got to edit this thing. That's what we got to remember. We got to look out for the folks, man. But look, that is Dominique Foxworth. Check him out at The Undefeated. Check him out Highly Questionable. Check him out on Get Up. Check him out on First Take. My man just be all over the place. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing three times a week. Tony Collette, you handling everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You'll give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. We'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.